Thank you, ladies. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 43. Psalm 43, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Yes, sir.
Let's do this. I'm going to, for sake of time, we've taken a little extra time this morning. Turn to Psalm 43. Come on, Brother Tony, and sing for us. And we'll just jump right into the message. How's that sound? Okay. Just for sake of time, I want to preach a little bit this morning. And I'm for the music. I'm for all of it. But they never made a song that competes with the Word of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
So
amen.
Let's have a good song, brother. God bless you.
Trust is not in the shield or the sword. They turn their eyes to heaven, whatever they face. Grounded and guarded, and guided by grace. Blessed are the lives that are built on God's Word, those hearts that trust in the truth they have heard, waiting for wisdom that comes from on high, walking by faith with His Word as their guide. Blessed are the people confessing their sin, moving with mercy and healing their land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, coming to
the good song. You're in Psalm 43 this morning. Look with me at the last verse, and we'll be touching on every verse in the Psalm, so keep your Bible open. But this is kind of the verse where I'm drawing my title today. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance, and my God. So I want to speak on staying soul healthy. Staying soul healthy. Let's pray this morning and we'll get into the Scripture. Father, thank You for all that our hearts have enjoyed this morning, the songs about our country and Your blessings on it. And truly, You have given us a wonderful nation in which to live and to be free. And we don't take that lightly or for granted. And Father, we rejoice in the preservation of our freedom, at least to what we enjoy today. And our hearts are troubled. Our hearts are, as the psalmist wrote here, our hearts can be disquieted. and our souls and cast down because of the situation that we're in as a nation now. We do need healing in our land. So would you please help me this morning to preach your word, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. Christian. Christian. There is a day when that word and all that it embodies was readily accepted as defining America. When someone said, define America, the word Christian followed somewhere in the context of the definition. It was understood, it was acknowledged, it was taken for granted that America was a Christian nation. And even though we allowed free speech and we allowed other religions to voice their beliefs, it was never acknowledged that America was anything other than a Christian nation. For years. Years and years. 2008, before Obama became president, in a speech 10 years ago, it was in 2006 when he was a senator up here from Illinois, he said, and I quote, "We are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers." And then as a president, in April of 2009, he visited Turkey, and this is what he said over there, and I quote, "Although we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values." Now, before you get too angry, he actually spoke half truthfully. Because that's true to a point. But we were founded a Christian nation. And the precepts of Christianity allowed for free speech and allowed for freedom of religion. But now the table has turned and Christianity is no longer the head. It is the tail. Its principles and its precepts are not followed. In fact, they are belittled and despised. How's that turned out for us? How's that worked out? How has the elevation of false religions and the lowering of Christianity working for the United States of America? Well, folks, I don't think we have to even talk about it this morning in detail. The condition of our country speaks for itself. Gives the answer to that question. And let's be honest, you know, I sing all these songs this morning with a truthful heart, a sincere heart, but at the same time, there's a bit of pain in my heart to sing those songs. A few weeks ago, I think, I just heard it on this tour. What's the name of that song, the patriotic song? That I love this land. And I heard those girls sing it. I love this land. I love its liberty and justice. And my heart pained. Because we don't have a whole lot of justice anymore. Things have changed. And, let's be honest, Christian, that's discouraging. You know, as Christians, we are becoming a despised minority in a country that was founded on Christianity. Meditate on that a little bit. Despised minority. Now, this is exactly what the psalmist is expressing in this chapter. And most men would credit David wrote this chapter. I think it probably fits his writing, especially as you look at chapter 42, verse number 1. "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God." That sounds like David terminology, if you will. And in verse number 5 of chapter 43, he admits that his soul is cast down, that his soul is disquieted. He's not at peace. He's troubled. In fact, if you have your Bible, I hope you'll keep it open. In chapter 42, verse 5, you'll find almost the same exact verbiage. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. At the end of verse number 11, at the end of the chapter, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He admits that his soul is cast down. His soul is disquieted. His soul is not healthy. We might find ourselves in the same frame of mind and heart today. So I think this is a good psalm for us to get into and look at this morning. I'll give you three things. First of all, I want you to see the source of his discouragement. The source of his discouragement. Look at chapter 43, verse number 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. The source of the soul trouble, the soul unhealthiness, is an ungodly nation and deceitful and unjust men. So folks, if this is from the pen of David, then it was probably written during the close of Saul's reign, and the nation of Israel was in disarray. It was full of deceitful and unjust men, and beginning with the man who was at the top, King Saul himself. And that was a source of David's soul discouragement. Not S-O-L-E, S-O-U-L. His soul discouragement. Now think with me about our nation. The influence of Christianity is still found in the commonplaces of our country. It really is. We were on this tour this week and the ladies sang that song. They sang that song, I Love This Land. We were eating. We went to a church in Springfield, Tennessee last Sunday night. And the pastor and his wife and his mother, it was Dolphus Price's son. And Dolphus Price's widow was there, 97 years old. Dolphus Price is the man that I sometimes tell about who stood and said, my wife and I have been married for 50 years and never had an argument. Y'all heard me tell that story. That was Dolphus Price. And his wife said, that's the truth. She was a jewel. She was a peach. But anyway, the pastor took the group of us out to a place called Old Charlie's. And the manager was very kind to us and got a big table together. And she said, well, why are all the girls dressed alike? Well, they're not all sisters. Okay, you know how those tour groups do. And so, they're a singing group. Oh, I'd like to hear them sing. We said, come back around and you'll hear them sing. And so toward the end of the meal and place us people in it, the girls stood and sang, I love this land. And it talks about America. It talks about Jesus. It talks about going to church and worshiping Jesus. And that store manager stood there and the tears rolled down her cheeks. We went to the mountain. We had a free day on Tuesday. That's the day of the Yellow Jackets things. Okay. We had a free day on Tuesday, and I said, girl, I've been in the van for 6 weeks, and I was in the van long enough. We're not going to be in the van. We're going to the mountains. We're going to get out. We're going to walk. We're going to do some things. I'll tell you about those things some other time. But we ended up at a picnic table in the mountains in North Carolina with a grill, bought some hamburgers and some charcoal, and we're cooking and grilling hot dogs and hamburgers. I mean, just having a great time. They're playing around with the lake, you know, and everything. There's a lake there, you know. And so I was just overwhelmed by the beauty of it, the serenity of being there. And I said, girls, why don't y'all sing that song, I Love This Land, just as a tribute to what we've enjoyed today. And they began singing, and on the other side of the lake, people started standing came out from behind trees. Not that they were hiding, but they were over there, and they were having their, and they came out and stood on the shore of the lake and listened. And while the girls were singing, they were raising their arms in the air and waving like this. And when they got done, they all gave them a big hand like that. That's the influence of Christianity. Then we got to a McDonald's after the church service on Thursday night. I took the pastor and his young family out for some ice cream, and we're eating McDonald's there. And what are these girls all dressed up alike for? Same thing, you know. Well, they're a singing group. Oh, I'd love to hear them sing. They sang again. And once again, the tears flowed down the cheeks of the folks who worked at McDonald's. You see, the influence of Christianity is still found in the commonplaces of our country. But among those who are in places of influence and leadership, there's very little Christianity. You could take Washington, D.C., the all of it. I mean Republican, Democrat, Independent. You could take all of Washington, D.C., and you couldn't find one thimble full of on-fire Christianity. And very little Christian influence amongst the people. It's in the buildings. It's on the buildings. Etched in stone, but it's not in the people's hearts. Since the death of Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court has issued more disappointing rulings than encouraging ones. The latest one this week when they shot down the Texas law that was going to restrict some abortions. And they shot it down. The scene that's so indelibly imprinted on my mind, my mind's eye, is the greatest source of discouragement to me is that picture of the White House bathed in the colors of the sodomite flag. That to me, that took the wind out of me. And although there is a solid Christian influence in our land among the common people, there is also now a strong, strong underbelly of vile and wicked people who have no values and no morals. And I don't know about what set of ideals and values Obama is referring to that binds us together, but Bible believers and sodomites don't have too many ideals and values in common. I'm just sorry to say that, but that's the truth. So you think with me about our country. David said, an ungodly nation. I wish it were different, folks. But that's true about us now. And then he talked about deceitful and unjust men. That's what he said in verse number 1, from the deceitful and unjust man. He said, where are the deceitful and unjust men? You know where these people are, folks? At ABC. And NBC. And CBS and PBS and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune and CNN, the mainstream media in this country is full of unjust and deceitful people. Where is the mainstream media on Benghazi? Where are they? Where are they? Many of us live through Watergate. I'm not condoning Richard Nixon, but folks, if the media was going after Hillary with a tenth of what they went after Richard Nixon, we'd know the truth about that. By the way, we do know the truth about it, just nobody wants to think. Where's the media on Bill Clinton's immorality? Where are they? Where is the media after they have promoted and pushed and promoted causes that fail and crash and burn, where is the follow-up to say, you know what, we made a mistake? They never say that. I was down in Atlanta this week. I lived through desegregation of the public schools. I was a part of it. And boy, that was the media darling. Well, how's that turned out? The media trumpets gun control. How's that turned out? Every gun-free zone in America is sitting ducks for these terrorists and other crazy people. But the media never addresses their mistakes. Media never answers it, never does any kind of follow-up about, boy, we promoted this cause and it sure has backfired. You never hear from them. It's just on to the next liberal thing. I'm talking about media lies and deceits and deceives and purposely twists the facts and the truth, and nobody calls them out on it. And we get all excited and pumped about conservative causes, and we want to champion Bible-based values and Bible-based principles, and we watch as our government shoots it all down, and the media always plays to that other side. We have a midterm election where both the House and the Senate are supposed to be under the rule of the conservative party. What have they done? Zip. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our souls are cast down. Sure, our souls are disquieted, struggling for peace and calm. History repeats itself. Here we are several thousand years removed from David's day, and yet we experience the same things. He says, my soul is cast down because of this ungodly nation and these deceitful and unjust men. And that's why I would, amongst all the songs and the patriotism of this morning, there's still a hurt in my heart. Just a hurt there. That's the source of David's discouragement. Now, second, I want you to see this. I want you to see the source of his frustration. Look at verse number 2. He says, "For Thou art the God of my strength. Why dost Thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" David's discouragement frustrated him. And here's why. He knew God was the source of his strength. But he felt like, don't miss those two words, he felt like God had cast him off. If he had the God of the universe as his God, then why was he so discouraged? Why did he mourn over the oppression of the enemy when he knew God was stronger than his enemy? Why, God could put an end to all of this. God could overthrow the enemy. God could fix the nation and do away with the deceitful and just and unjust men. Why didn't he? And this frustrated David. I know God is the God of my strength. But why are we cast down? Why is our nation so ungodly? Why are we under the influence of deceitful and unjust men when our God is bigger than all of them? And to a degree, folks, the same thing frustrates us. And in the Psalms, this is not the only place. You can read many places in the Psalms where the writer of the Psalms penned how discouraging and frustrating it was to see evil men and evil causes triumph and right lose. And it was discouraging. And it was frustrating. We know that the Supreme Court is fixing to come out with a ruling. And we hold our breath. And we hope for the best. And we think surely God will intervene and we will win this decision. And then the Supreme Court decision comes out against us and against God. It's frustrating. Because we know God has the power, the ability, the strength to overcome all of it. I mean, John Roberts votes for Obamacare not once but twice. His vote could have buried it. And appointed as Chief Justice by a Republican conservative president, and his vote goes the other direction. And by the way, folks, if you're holding your breath that Hillary's going to be indicted, you might as well start breathing. Because that ain't happening. And you say, oh, you're throwing a political soapbox. I'm not here for political purpose. I'm speaking reality to us this morning. Now, if you're sitting around thinking, yes, sir, Hillary's going to get nailed by this. Friend, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. In a few weeks, the FBI or the DOJ or somebody's going to say, there's nothing to it, forget it, it's over. And you and I are going to go, what? And it's frustrating because, man, we serve God. A God who knows all this and could turn it all over. There's a bill in California right now in the state Senate Bill 1146 that makes it's making its way through the Senate committees. It's headed to a vote. It's already passed in the House. And this bill says that any faith-based schools who receive public funds or participate in the California Grant Student Aid Program, pause. We've been saying for years that accreditation and seeking state aid is going to bite us. But we're the legalist, and we're the uneducated, and we're the non-intellectual. Well, it's biting. Because any school that receives any kind of aid or public funds no longer can ask if a prospective student is saved. They cannot force the kids to attend chapel, and they cannot turn away an applicant who is a sodomite. In California. It's already passed the House. It's making its way through the committees in the Senate. And we sit back and we say, God's going to intervene. God's going to intervene. And then God doesn't intervene. And we go, what's going on? Not only are we discouraged, but we're frustrated. And with the psalmist, why is our soul cast down? Why is my spirit, why is my soul disquieted within me? I have no peace. This ungodly nation and these deceitful and unjust men. And I know God is our strength and God is stronger than all of that. And He just doesn't seem to stop it. It just seems like the other side picks up momentum, picks up every victory, and we lick our wounds. No wonder. The source of his discouragement, the source of his frustration. But I want to show you lastly this morning, folks, and this is what I really want to draw your attention to, the source of his health. The source of his health is in, how is he going to get soul healthy? How is he going to overcome the discouragement and the frustration living in this ungodly nation? Are the unjust men and the deceitful men going away? You think ABC is going to turn over and become a bastion of conservative values? You think USA Today is all of a sudden going to become a publication of conservative values? No. Well, if they're not going away. So how is he going to overcome the discouragement? How is he going to overcome the frustration? Look at verse number 3. Look at what he says. He talks about his discouragement in verse 1. He talks about the reason for his discouragement. He talks about the reason for his frustration in verse 2. And then he almost like he just turns his head to heaven and he says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." He said, "Send out thy light and thy truth." Light and truth, light and truth. People, where can we find light and truth? You got it. I see some Bibles going up. This is where we find light and truth. And David said, "Oh God, send out thy light and thy truth." You see, in that day, God was still sending out his word. In those days, he was still sending it out. But now, friend, it is sent. It is completed. Here it is. You hold in your hand this morning God's light and God's truth. It's in this book. It's a completed book of God. And a child of God living in this ungodly nation and in the midst of a media made up of deceitful and unjust men cannot afford to ignore God's light and God's truth. God's light and God's truth will lead us and direct us and help God's people. It will bring health to our soul. Folks, if all you're doing is feasting Monday through Saturday on the television talk shows and the radio talk shows and ABC and CBS and NBC and CNN, and you wonder why you're discouraged and you wonder why you're frustrated and wonder why your soul is not healthy, that's not the place your soul gets healthy. This is the place your soul gets healthy. This is light. This is truth. This is light. This is truth. Look at verse number 3. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill. So you know where light and truth leads us? It leads us to God's presence. It leads us to God's holy hill. It leads us to God's dwelling. It leads us to His altar. You see, here we are in this unjust nation amongst deceitful and unjust men, ungodly nation amongst deceitful and unjust men. And we are discouraged and we are frustrated and our souls are not in a healthy condition. And we go to the book and in the book we find light and in the book we find truth and we read it and we read it slowly and we meditate on it. And the light and truth from God's book leads us beyond Springfield, Illinois. And the light and truth from God's book leads us beyond Chicago. And the light and truth in God's book leads us beyond Washington, D.C. And beyond the House, and beyond the Senate, and beyond the Supreme Court, and beyond the United Nations, and beyond the lies and the untruths of deceitful and unjust men. The light and truth of God's book leads us beyond all that the God of this world is ruling over, the one who hates Jesus, leads us beyond all of that, and it leads us into the light and truth of God's presence, and that's where our soul gets healthy. In the midst of ungodliness, and in the midst of frustration, in the midst of discouragement, it is this book that leads us into light, leads us into truth. That's where God is. And that's what encourages us and lead to the health of our hearts. There, in His presence, we see things from God's perspective. We enjoy God's presence. At His altar, we confess our discouragement and we confess our frustration, and our burdens are lifted, and despair is replaced by joy, and murmuring is replaced by singing and by praising. That's what He said in verse number 4. I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God my God. We are unhealthy in our souls because of the ungodly nation, the unjust and deceitful men. We run to God's light. We run to God's truth. And it is God's truth that makes our souls healthy and helps us not to live in discouragement, not to live in frustration, puts a song on our mouth, even praise to our God. So this whole message was really built around one thing. You can't ignore this book and have a healthy soul. That book stays closed in your house. You say, oh, I came here this morning and brought my Bible with me. Yeah, but this won't last. This book stays closed in your bedroom, closed on your coffee table, closed on your kitchen table. It's not opened again until next Sunday. And you're bombarded with CBS and ABC and NBC and CNN and your soul, and even Fox News, and your soul is going to go, why do I stay healthy on Tuesday? You run to the light. You run to the truth. And God's light and God's truth takes you into His presence. And in His presence, you see things from His perspective and you find the truth about things. And your soul receives nourishment. Your soul is made healthy. That's how we keep soul healthy. Not ABC, not Rush Limbaugh. The word, the light and the truth. That's how we stay healthy. Now, you got your Bible opened? Okay. I write these pages. I wrote some of these pages on Wednesday morning. I wrote some of these pages on Thursday morning. I wrote some of these pages on Friday morning. I'm writing page 5 and 6. My last point on Friday morning, there before we leave Asheville to go to Suwanee, Georgia. And I get up early before all the girls do. And they like to stay up late and get up early. I'm just the opposite. So I get up early. And the first thing I did, I wanted to finish my message. I said, Lord, please help me. So I sat down with open Bible and I wrote point number 3, the source of His health. And I got all the way done with the message. And I wrote these last words here. We come away from God's presence refreshed, blessed, and victorious in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen, amen. And I stopped. And I closed my notebook and I said, it's almost finished. But I need to read my Bible a little bit before I go out and exercise. And the day before, I had stopped on Psalm 45. So I began reading Psalm 46. And the first verse I read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I said, that's exactly what I was just penning for 6 pages. This is light. This is truth. And when you run to the light and you run to the truth and you sit down and you begin to read it, brother, your soul comes away healthy. Healthy. Encouraged. Okay, it's an ungodly nation. Okay, the media is unjust and full of deceitful people and lies. Okay, we lose every Supreme Court ruling. Okay, even the conservatives in Congress have done nothing. Okay, it seems like it's all going against us. But you know what? I've got a God who is my help, my source, my strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. And brother, when you get to His light and to His truth, you're going to keep a healthy soul. But you're not going to keep a healthy soul apart from that book. Not going to do it. That's how it stays healthy. That's how it stays encouraged. God's light and God's truth transports us to higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith. Even though it may feel like I'm losing, by faith let me stand on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. He says, that's what I want, Pastor. How do I get there? Well, David said, the light and the truth lead us to higher ground. I love America. I say that from the depths of my heart. That poem I read choked me up this morning. But folks, beneath all the patriotism and all the God bless America, there is a pain in my heart. And if I don't go to God's light, and if I don't go to God's truth, by the way, when I read Psalm 46, it wasn't for you. It wasn't for my Sunday school class. It wasn't for a devotion. It wasn't for one of the services I was preaching during the week. When I went to Psalm 46, it was for me. It was my Bible time. It was my time in the light. My time. I did your time right here. When I put that down and said, I'm just going to read some, it was my time. And that's the verse God gave me. And I read chapter after chapter after chapter, 47, 48. It talks about the greatness of God and the glory of God. I want to tell you something, friend. When you get a piece of that, you'll keep your soul healthy. You'll keep your soul healthy. And a smile on your face and a spring in your step and the joy and the light of God in your eyes. David talked about his countenance being healthy. His countenance, what does that mean? His soul is healthy. It shows him his countenance. Yeah, we're going down the tubes. But I've been in God's presence. I've been to the light. I've been to the truth. And in the midst of going down, my soul, what does that song say? It is well. It is well with my soul. Staying soul healthy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for these people here on this holiday weekend. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for all that the Word of God is to us. And I pray that you'll help us as your people not to neglect it and ignore it. I pray for people, Lord, in the audience this morning, in the room, who have, Lord, not yet disciplined themselves and learned to spend time in the Word, in the light and the truth. It leads us to you. It takes us into your presence. It shows us encouragement. It eases our frustration. In your presence, there is joy evermore. Oh God, help our souls to be healthy. In the midst of an ungodly nation and among deceitful and unjust men, help our souls to stay healthy. And thank you for your word. That's the source of our health. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask a question this morning. Who would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, let me just get specific for sake of time. Who would say, Pastor, I have, without a structured schedule, maybe in the summertime or just other things, but I have really fumbled the ball in the last week or several months in my Bible reading. If that's the source of my strength, if that's the source of my health, if that's the source of keeping my soul healthy, I've got to get faithful and consistent in my Bible time. Pray for me. God spoke to me about that this morning. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, I appreciate that. That's honesty. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Take your hand down. That's really the objective of this message. To draw us back to the light. Draw us back to the truth that's in God's book. Maybe there's somebody else that I should have raised my hand. I started to, but I thought I should have raised my hand and said, pray for me. just a moment ago. So I'm going to raise it now. I see your hand. Somebody else? I should have raised my hand. All right. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Brother Angel, I don't know that I'm even saved? By that, you mean you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. It's either heaven or hell. So how can I know? Well, the Word of God is light and truth about heaven and how to get there. Is there somebody here that would say this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand in the air? Let me pray for you. I won't call you out. I promise you. Would you just slip your hand in the air? Let me pray for you this morning. I look across the room. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, and you want to obey the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism, then you come at the invitation time or talk to one of these men about it. But let God work in your heart. My objective this morning was to exalt God's light and God's truth and hopefully prod maybe people who have wandered away from God's light and God's truth to get back in it. It is the source of your soul's health. May God help us. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Let the Spirit of God help you today. Thy light and Thy truth. Lead me. Guide me. Take me into the holy hill of God. Into His presence, His tabernacle, His altar. I see things from His perspective. I learn where I need to confess. My soul gets help. Saying, soul help me in the midst of a